Hallelujah. Amen. We thank the Lord very much for His speaking this afternoon. Wasn't that precious? Wasn't it enlightening, enjoyable, fresh, rich, up to date? Hallelujah. And I was really so encouraged by all the prophecies. All the speaking just seemed to enhance and support the fellowship. And our fellowship tonight is going to be on God's economy in the book of Ephesians. And let's read the message title together. Message title: The Economy of God Revealed in the Book of Ephesians. And this is actually the fourth message of the training. And of course, earlier today we had the first message of the training, the elders' training that was held in Anaheim recently. And the title of that message was The Lines in the Word of God. Now, we were supposed to have memorized the seven items of the central line of the Bible, right? There was fellowship concerning the seven items of the central line of the Bible. So let's try and recite those. Okay. The Word of God, the Triune God, the Economy of God, the All-Inclusive Christ, the Anointing Spirit, the Body of Christ, the New Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. So these items, as we fellowshiped this afternoon, and we want to review this a little bit. So we'll spend just a few minutes reviewing the matter from this afternoon, because not everybody was here. And so for going on with the Lord, for His move today, especially in the Lord's recovery, as we're going through this matter of increase and spread. We're increasing and we're spreading. And we want to make sure the message we carry is the right message. We don't want to, in our increase and spread, we don't want to get off on a wrong direction. So this is the word we've used many times, recalibrating. So this fellowship today was kind of a recalibrating. What is the central line? What is the focus, the primary focus today? And it's these seven matters. And this is a vision that kind of keeps us on the right track. And as we're going to see when we get into Ephesians tonight, all these seven items are in the book of Ephesians. That's why there's the feeling to have message four, the economy of God in Ephesians, as one of the messages. The brother pointed out that we have a starting point, an ending point, the New Jerusalem. Along the line, we need to have another signpost to make sure we're going in the right direction. We don't want to get off. So this matter of the economy of God in Ephesians is very, very helpful. Now, concerning the central line, we also saw that there are the matters of the supplemental points and the branches, leaves and branches. Now, these are not useless items. They are to help us implement and carry out the central line. And so, for instance, our practices, all of our practices, calling on the Lord, pray reading, the God-ordained way, these are, you could say, our external matters. They're not the central line, but without having calling on the Lord, the God-ordained way, the way to preach the gospel, then we wouldn't have a way to go forth on the central line. So another way to look at these external items, they're the wineskin. They're the wineskin that kind of holds the content, the wine. Now, without the, if we just had the wineskin, it kind of just, we really don't have anything, right? But if we didn't have the wineskin and only the content, then we really wouldn't have a way to carry the content. So we need the wineskin and we need the content. Hallelujah. We don't want to get focused on the content, the wineskin, and then forget the content. That's the real danger today. So these, and something that really impressed me in the training, a statement that was mentioned, these seven items continue on into eternity. Consider, if something continues on to an eternity, that's part of the central line. The things that don't go into eternity, the things that are in just this age, they're part of the external things to help us implement the seven items. So, obviously, the Word of God goes on into eternity. The triune God goes into eternity. Hallelujah. The economy of God goes into eternity. The body of Christ goes into eternity. The all-inclusive Christ. The all-inclusive Spirit. The New Jerusalem. These are all items in eternity. And so these are the items, the things we need to focus on in these days to make sure as we carry a message, as we bring ones to the Lord, as we shepherd ones, we need to be shepherding them into these things. The Lord has, in Bloomington, Illinois, the Lord's kind of given us a marvelous opportunity to shepherd a number of believers there. And last week we had a kind of a conference with them. And guess what the topic of the conference was? The all-inclusive Christ. Hallelujah. And they thoroughly enjoyed it. And so as we care for these ones, we're going to be bringing them into these seven items. And so this is the really what the fellowship was in the earlier meeting today. It's these seven items that we need to keep as our focus. And it's so easy to get off on one of the other side items. So as we go forward, may the Lord just continue to recalibrate us, that we would stay with the seven items in the central line. Okay, now let's look at the message four, the economy of God revealed in the book of Ephesians. Let's read Romans 1 together. The economy of God, His household administration, according to His heart's desire, revealed in the book of Ephesians, is accomplished by the exercise of our mingled spirit, for it is the dispensing of the triune God into us, unto the building up of the church as the body of Christ. So these three matters, the exercise of our mingled spirit, the dispensing of the triune God, and the building up of the church of the body of Christ, or we'll see later, the organism of the triune God, all of these three matters are in every chapter in Ephesians. Every chapter in Ephesians touches the mingled spirit, touches the dispensing of the triune God, touches the organism of the triune God. This is a fresh view of God's economy in the book of Ephesians. I'd never seen it from this broader perspective or this kind of a helicopter view, panoramic view of the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians, one of the verses we read, actually we didn't read it, but we're going to read it now. Ephesians 3:11. According to the eternal purpose which He made in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Ephesians was written with eternity in view. It's written from God's point of view in eternity. And so we need to have this view. Remember we mentioned all these things go on into eternity. So Ephesians was written from God's purpose, the economy of God, according to His eternal purpose. Now, one of the things we really need to do in Ephesians to see this view tonight is get out of ourselves. How many of you are bothered by something that happened today? Get out of ourselves! We can't be bothered by anything that happened today. Hallelujah! We're going to, let's look at Ephesians 1:3. That one we did read. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. So where are we today? In Christ Jesus. And Ephesians 2:6. And raised us up together with Him and seated us together with Him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So our position in Christ, in the heavenlies. Is there a better place to be tonight? Hallelujah. So we're in Christ. We're in the heavenlies. That's our position. And we have to really remember that. In fact, we're joined with Him. We're identified with Him, united with Him. We're one with Him as members of His body in the heavenlies in Christ. So as we cover these points tonight, we just need to exercise our mingled spirit to realize that's where we are. We're in the heavenlies in Christ, but it takes an exercise of our mingled spirit to realize that, to experience that. Now, this matter of in Christ or in Him is mentioned 20 times in the book of Ephesians. 20 times in the book of Ephesians it mentions in Christ or in Him. So, you see, Paul had a burden here. He had a desire that we would see something from a heavenly view, from an eternal view, that we're in Christ, in Him, not in ourselves. And so regardless of how we feel right now, we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ. And in another point, it's mentioned 6 times, this matter of in love. So we're in Christ, in the heavenlies, in love. And this matter of love is a very important matter in the book of Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians 6:24. Let's read it together. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility. So our love for the Lord needs to be in incorruptibility. So we need to have this fresh love for the Lord. Does anybody remember in the first church that was written to in the book of Revelation what their main failure was and what that church was? Lost their first love, and what church was it? Church of Ephesians, Ephesus. So Paul, right at the end here, gave them a very clear word. Love the Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility. Yet they lost that first love. So this really is our primary, these 3 points. In Christ, in the heavenlies, in love. So this is where we need to be in our mingled spirit. With the exercise of our spirit, in Christ, in the heavenlies, and in enjoying his love, enjoying Him in a sweet way. And if this is our situation, then we're going to have a very sweet walk with the Lord. We will be able to stay in these 7 items. But if we lose our love for the Lord, we're going to very quickly get off on something else. We'll get off on works, something else. So our love, our first love for the Lord, our fresh love for the Lord needs to be there. We need to be in the heavenlies, in Christ, with that fresh love for the Lord. Now, I'm going to read this. It's a short footnote in Ephesians 2:6, note 5, about, again, being in the heavenlies. It was in Christ that God seated us all together, once for all in the heavenlies. This was accomplished when Christ ascended to the heavens. And it has been applied to us by the Spirit of Christ ever since we believed in Him. Today, we realize and experience this reality in our spirit through faith in the accomplished fact. So again, we realize all the things we're talking about tonight, we realize in our mingled spirit, in our human spirit, mingled with the Holy Spirit, the facts and the realities that are there, we come into by faith. So back to the outline now. As I mentioned earlier, let's read Romans 2 together. Each chapter of Ephesians reveals the mingled spirit, our human spirit, regenerated and indwelt by the compound, all-inclusive, consummated spirit. When we turn to our spirit and exercise our spirit, we touch the body. Because the body is in our spirit. So, again, Paul's burden here was to really help us come into the reality of the body of Christ. And to come into the reality of the body of Christ, we need to, one, know our mingled spirit, know our human spirit. 2, we need to realize that God is dispensing Himself. The triune God is dispensing Himself into us so that we can become his body in a practical way. And then the end result is we're an organism of the triune God. But we need to, so in I was so amazed to realize that in every chapter of Ephesians, these three items are there. The mingled spirit, the dispensing of the triune God, and the organism of the triune God. All three of these are in every chapter in Ephesians. So let's go down real quick and look at Roman numeral 3. Each chapter of Ephesians concerning the producing, existing, growing, building up, and fighting of the church, the body of Christ, is composed of the divine economy, the dispensing of the triune God into the members of the body of Christ. Now, real quickly, this here is a very good description of the divine economy. Notice, it is composed of the divine economy, comma, the dispensing of the triune God into the members of the body of Christ. So God's economy, his plan, his purpose, the way he wants to carry out his goal in the universe of getting a bride for Christ is to continually dispense the riches of the triune God into man. That's his economy. That's his household administration. Again, this word economy comes from oikonomia, the household law, household administration, from back in the in the New Testament times. A house had a servant that was a manager of that house. And that servant would be responsible for distributing the riches of the house to the people, to the members of the household. So this is the picture. That's the picture of God's economy. God has a lot of riches. God has a great house. And we're members of his household. And God wants to distribute himself as the riches into his household, which is us. This is the economy of God. This is God's plan in the universe. That's why he put man in front of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. He put man in front of the tree of life to eat that tree. Unfortunately, man took in another tree. And so God had a plan. He had a plan. He wasn't surprised. So Christ came, died for us, resurrected, became the life-giving spirit. Now Christ to us is the tree of life. So now we're back right on track, enjoying Christ as the tree of life, God dispensing himself into us. So that's Roman 3. Now let's look at Roman 4. Let's read it together. Each chapter of the book of Ephesians unveils the mystery of the body of Christ as the organism of the triune God from a particular point of view. Okay, so again, in each chapter, there's the organism of the triune God. So in a sense, Roman numeral 1 equals Roman numeral 2 plus 3 plus 4. Roman numeral 1 is a kind of a brief overview of the whole outline. So now let's look in a little bit more detail about the importance of our mingled spirit. Okay, in point A, Ephesians 1:17, reveals that we must pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see the mystery of God's economy, which is to dispense Christ as the mystery of God into God's chosen people, to make them the reality of the body of Christ as the mystery of Christ. I mean, just this one statement is phenomenal. But we don't have time to get into all the details of it, but a couple of key points. We need to pray for a spirit of wisdom. We need to pray for a spirit of wisdom that we could see what God is after today. Because if we don't see, we can't progress. So we need to see from the heavenly point of view, from God's point of view, from the point of view of eternity, what God's plan and God's purpose is. And of course, again, it's to dispense Christ into us to make the body, the reality of the body, very, very real in the universe. So we need to know, to use, and exercise our spirit so that we can see this reality. Also, you know, when we exercise our spirit, we get into this, what is a fourfold power in Ephesians 1, the latter part of Ephesians 1. But I'll just read his resurrection power in verse 20, his ascending power in verse 20, his subjecting power in verse 22, and his heading up power in verse 22. So this fourfold power is transmitted into us, so transmitted into the church. So the fourfold power of the triune God in his resurrection, ascension, things being subjected to him and submitted to him is transmitted into the church. And so when we touch and exercise our mingled spirit, this power is transmitted into us. How many of you want this power transmitted into you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the exercise of the mingled spirit. Okay, then Ephesians 2:22 reveals that our spirit is the dwelling place of God. We are being built together into the dwelling place of God in spirit. You know, God is happy when we're in our spirit. Because when we're in our spirit, he has a home. We have a home. Think about that for a minute. A dwelling place of God in spirit. So if nobody in the universe is in spirit, God doesn't have a home on the earth. But the more of us that are in the spirit, enjoying him in our human spirit, the more he's at home. And the more we're at home. So we just need to pray, Lord, keep me in my spirit all day long. And we need to enjoy him all day long as grace, as the presence of grace. And in Ephesians 3:5, next point, reveals that the mingled spirit is the means by which the revelation of Christ and the church is revealed to the apostles and prophets. So by the mingled spirit, all these realities were revealed to the apostles and the prophets. We cannot know the body of Christ without exercising our mingled spirit. Without being in spirit, without touching the Lord in our spirit, we have no way to know the body of Christ. We have no way to see the body of Christ. We have no way to enjoy God. So our mingled spirit is such a key. And then in Ephesians 3:16, reveals that our spirit is our inner man, our new person, our new spirit, our new man. We need to be prayed to be strengthened with power into the inner man for the reality of the body life, which is the inner experience of the indwelling Christ as life for God's glory in the church. Now, are we praying this prayer so that we would become a spiritual giant person? Or are we praying this prayer for Christ as life for God's glory in the church? See, this is what our prayer needs to be. Our prayer needs to be, Lord, empower me. Lord, strengthen me into the inner man. That you would make your home in my heart through faith, Lord, that you could be expressed on the earth today. And you know, the way to build the church is to pray this prayer. You know, many times we think, Lord, how to build the church? The way to build the church is to pray this prayer. These two prayers in Ephesians, 1:17 and 3:16 and 17. We should, and I've heard this so many times, and I resolve I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray this prayer for X number of days. I don't know, maybe somebody around here has really done that. I've failed every time, but we need to exhort one another. Pray these two prayers. Pray these two prayers in Ephesians, a prayer for revelation and a prayer for the Lord to build himself into us for the church. Maybe we encourage one another, just like, Jim, you need to ask us, are you praying the prayers in Ephesians? And we'll ask you, do you remember the 7 points? But if we truly, if we prayed these prayers, the Lord would really have a marvelous way to go forward and a way to have the reality of the body life. And then in Ephesians 4:23, reveals that we must allow the renewing spirit mingled with our regenerated spirit to become the spirit of our mind so that we can be renewed day by day to become as new as the new Jerusalem for the reality of the body of Christ as the new man. Probably one of the oldest parts of our being is our mind. It just has all the old thoughts. It has all the old memories, right? And so we just need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. A lot of the memories we have, Lord, we just need to let the Lord touch the memories and heal even the feelings we have when those memories come. We just need the Lord, touch the memories. Touch my being. Touch my mind, that my mind doesn't remain old. Doesn't remain to my old concepts. The brother sharing said to be renewed in the spirit of our mind is to get rid of all of our concepts concerning the things of human life. Get rid of all of our concepts concerning the things of human life. Concerning what type of career should we have? Where should we live? A lot of times, thought is, "Oh, I need a great career," or "I'm going to live somewhere where there's a nice house," or "I want to make a lot of money," or "I want to have such and such a car," or "I want to dress such and such a way." But you know, these are all worldly concepts of this age. But as we begin to really exercise our spirit and touch the Lord, the choices we make, the decisions we make, the way we appear, all these things begin more and more take on the appearance of Christ. We make decisions that are consistent with the church life, consistent with the body. In other words, I don't choose a school way out where there's no believers. No, I choose a school. I go to a school where I can enjoy the Lord with the saints. I don't choose a house that is far away from the saints just because I like it. You know, I live by the saints. I don't get a job unless there's fellowship. Sometimes there'll be fellowship in some of these areas. So we're not trying to lay a law down here, but we need to really consider, Lord, my thoughts, my concepts run my life. And so our concepts of human life need to be renewed by the spirit of our mind. And you know, the way to do that is to read the Bible every day and pray every day. Read the Bible and pray. Read and pray. And the more we read the Bible, the more we pray, the more our mind will be the mind of Christ. We'll think like Christ. We'll choose like Christ. We'll choose for Christ. And so our mind, the spirit spreads into our thinking. And this is really what we want from the Lord. And the mingled spirit possesses and saturates our mind. Then our church life is filled with the characteristics, the fragrance, the aroma, and the oneness of Christ. Now, isn't that a marvelous church life? Filled with the fragrance, the characteristics, the aroma, the oneness of Christ. But that's if we're in our spirit, letting the Spirit saturate our mind and control our thinking. Then the church life will take on this characteristic. Will take on the characteristic of Christ. And then the fruit bearing will be normal. We'll bear fruit because this is what ones want. The nations want Christ. The people of the nations want Christ. So the fruit will be born. And just a little personal testimony. As far as being in prayer and calling on the Lord, we can do this all the time. And I've shared this testimony a few times, but I don't think I've shared it here. But I used to do a lot of consulting in Korea. And I would go to Korea many times. I won't tell you how many times, but I went to Korea many times. And I would always work through a translator. And I'd be teaching statistics and to managers, to engineers, to line workers, and so forth. But I'd share a point of important statistical information or management information. And then while the translator was translating, I would just be calling on the Lord within. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Just be calling. Then the translator finished with the next statistical sentence, then I'd call on the Lord some more. And this went on all day long. They were getting statistics. I was worshiping God. So, saints, we can worship the Lord all day long. We can worship the Lord in whatever we're doing, whatever our endeavor is. We can be quietly within calling on the Lord. And then sometimes we just need to say, you just need to get out of ourselves and shout, Lord Jesus, I love you. And that helps get us out of ourselves. We need to find a place where we can do that. One time I was in a carburetor factory that had big vacuum pumps in the basement, and I have to go down into the basement sometimes. Nobody could hear anything. I would just shout at the top of my lungs, Lord Jesus, I love you. So we need to do both. We need to know how to shout at the top of our lungs, Lord Jesus, I love you. And we need to know how to call silently, quietly, all day long in a prayerful way. Both, we touch the Spirit. We get into our mingled spirit. Okay, Ephesians 5:18 reveals that we must be filled with a beautifying, bride-preparing spirit, mingled with our spirit, so that we can be prepared to be Christ's glorious church, His beautiful bride, the house of God's beauty for God's expression. And if you get a chance, you look up those verses in Isaiah, really sweet about the house of God's beauty. God wants a beautiful house. That's what the bride of Christ is. That's what the church is, a beautiful house for God. And then Ephesians 6:18 reveals that we must pray at every time in our spirit in order to experience the slaying spirit mingled with our spirit. In this way, everything of God's adversary can be killed within us, enabling us to rule in the divine life of the spirit over Satan, sin, and death for God's dominion. Now, isn't this a marvelous place to be? In our spirit, ruling over Satan, sin, and death for God's dominion. So, you notice here in point F, we have the expression of God. And in G, we have the dominion. Genesis 1:26, there was image and dominion. So, here, in these two points, in Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6, Ephesians 5, there's the image of Christ, the expression of Christ. And in G, Romans point six, chapter 6, there is the dominion. So in the mingled spirit, we have dominion over the enemy, dominion over all the things of this life, and dominion over the self and the sin that rules within us. So basically, the word becomes a sword to slay the adversary within us. Do you ever have the adversary within you rise up and cause you trouble? Anybody have that problem ever? Yeah. All the time. That's why we have a mingled spirit, to exercise it. And when we exercise our spirit, then all the Lord accomplished on the cross is applied to us. And we enjoy all those realities. So this is the mingled spirit in Ephesians, the six chapters of Ephesians. Now let's read Romans 3 together again now. Each chapter of Ephesians concerning producing, existing, growing, building up, and fighting of the church as the body of Christ is composed of the divine economy dispensing the triune God into the members of the body of Christ. So this is why our mingled spirit is so crucial, so the triune God, the divine Trinity, can dispense all of His riches into us so we can become the body of Christ. And in Ephesians 1:10 that we read earlier, the Lord's desire is to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him. So right now, in many ways, this universe is kind of upside down. There aren't too many things headed up by Christ, but in the church life, in our human life, the Lord wants to head us up. As He heads us up, then He's able to head the universe up. So we're the ones the Lord is looking to take Him, to gain Him, so He can dispense Himself into us so that the universe can be headed up. Then the end will come. Now, again, in each one of these points, and we'll go through them relatively quickly, but in each chapter we see the divine Trinity. Each chapter we see the human spirit. Each chapter we see the divine Trinity. And then when Tim's sharing a little bit, in each chapter we're going to see the organism of the triune God in each chapter. So these three are in each chapter. So you can see Paul is truly burdened to give us this marvelous view of God's economy. So let's read A together. Ephesians 1 unveils that God the Father chose and predestinated these members in eternity, that God the Son redeemed them, and that God the Spirit as a pledge sealed them, thus imparting Himself into His believers for the formation of the church, body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So you see the divine Trinity here. The Father chosen, predestined, the Son redeemed, the Spirit sealed and pledged to impart himself into the believers. You know, God is in us. Hallelujah! The triune God is in us. And by imparting himself into us, he forms the church. So you see the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity in chapter 1. And then look at point B, chapter 2. Read it together. Ephesians 2 shows us in the divine Trinity, all the believers, both the Jews and the Gentiles, have access unto God the Father, through God the Son, in God the Spirit. This indicates that the three coexist and co-inherit simultaneously, even after all the processes of incarnation, human living, crucifixion, and resurrection. Amen. You know, something that's very amazing about the Bible, especially in the New Testament, is you always see the triune God together. You never see the Son someplace and the Father someplace else and the Spirit someplace else. They function together. They operate together. And so in chapter 2 here, again, through God the Father, to the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit, we have access. And we lost that access to the tree of life. Now we have it. So we have access to enjoy the triune God, exercise our spirit, to love him, to praise him, and regardless of our circumstances. We were looking last night in our home meeting briefly in Acts, where in Philippians, Paul and Silas were bound up praising the Lord. They had access to the Father through the Son and the Spirit. And they were exercising it. Amen. So the Son is the accomplisher and the means. The Spirit is the executor and the application. And the Father is the originator and the source of all our enjoyment of the triune God. And we should really never lose the joy of our salvation. Anytime we feel that we're kind of maybe have lost the joy of our salvation, we just need to cry out, Lord, Lord, restore the joy of my salvation. Psalm 51:12. Okay, I'll read point number C, letter C. Ephesians speaks of the apostles' prayer that God the Father would grant the believers to be strengthened through God the Spirit, and the Father through the Spirit, that Christ would make his home in their heart. Again, the triune God in demand, that they might be filled to all the fullness of God. Now that's dispensing, filled to the fullness of God. So this is the climax of the believer's experience and participation in God and his divine Trinity. So so this is one of the prayers you need to pray all the time. Okay, let's read D together. Ephesians 4 portrays how the processed God as the Spirit, the Lord, and the Father is mingled with the body of Christ, so that all the members may experience the divine Trinity. And again, these verses in Ephesians 4 that we read earlier, they're so precious. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. So again, we have the triune God and we have the body of Christ. The four in one. Hallelujah. This is the organism of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And now that he's got himself, now that he's into man, man has become part of this organism. Just a perfect picture is the vine tree. The vine tree is an organism. And Christ is the vine, we are the branches. That's an organism. So again, the triune God dispensed into man. Okay, let's read E together. Ephesians 5 exhorts the believers to praise the Lord, God the Son, with the songs of God the Spirit, and to give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, to God the Father. This is to praise and thank the Father in his divinity, for our enjoyment of him as the triune God. Wow. Our enjoyment of Him as the triune God. I mean, that's what we're praising for. We're praising and thanking and rejoicing in Him for our enjoyment of Him as the triune God. So He's triune that we can enjoy Him. He's God the Father as the source. The Son is the one who accomplished. The Spirit is the one who applies. And we can enjoy Him day by day in all our situations and circumstances. Amen. Then let's read F together. Ephesians 6 instructs us to fight the spiritual warfare by being empowered, Lord, God the Son, putting on the whole armor of God the Father and wielding the sword of the Spirit. This is our experience and enjoyment of the triune God, even in spiritual warfare. So again, the entire triune God is in this matter of spiritual warfare. So we're in the heavenlies, exercising our spirit in the warfare with Him, but we're enjoying Him. So again, just a quick overview. In each chapter, we see our mingled spirit that we need to exercise. Then we see the dispensing of the divine Trinity in each chapter, resulting in Roman numeral 4, the mystery of the body of Christ, the organism of the triune God from a particular point of view. Another way to look at this is Roman numerals 2 and 3, the mingled spirit and the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity are kind of the process. We exercise our spirit, God gets dispensed, the result is the body of Christ, the organism of the triune God. So God is after an organism today that represents Him, expresses Him, and can fight for Him. And now we're going to see a little bit more in this. Tim's going to share with us this matter.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah for the economy of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I will continue on now with point 4. Let us all read point 4 together with an exercise spirit. Amen. Each chapter of the book of Ephesians veils the mystery of the body of Christ as the organism, the triune God, from a particular point of view. Amen. So as Brother Ken pointed out, we have three major items in the book of Ephesians related to God's economy. Number one, we saw the mingled spirit that is the realm with which the Lord is able to dispense Himself as the divine Trinity eventually to produce the body of Christ. And so in this point 4, we see the body of Christ is the organism of the triune God. And this point, this revelation of the mystery of the body of Christ as the organism of the triune God is actually the top revelation of the entire Bible. So we have to pay particular attention to this revelation. And also, we need to realize that in order for us to really see the true revelation of the mystery of the body of Christ as the organism of the triune God, this requires us to be in our spirit. And when the revelation of the economy of God was unveiled to the apostles, this was done in spirit. It was not done in the mind. It was not done through doctrinal theology. We do need to study these points, brothers, but we need to realize when we study these points, we need to be in our spirit. Amen. So point A says, Ephesians 1 reveals that the body of Christ is the issue of the dispensing of the process Trinity and the transmitting of the transcending Christ. So we have two particular phrases here. Number one, we have the issue of the dispensing of the process Trinity. So when we see that the mingled spirit in Ephesians is the receiver of the divine dispensing of the divine Trinity, we realize there is a result, there is an issue, and this issue is the body of Christ. Amen. This is a very great mystery, brothers. This requires us to open our entire being, to pray to the Lord that He would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Hallelujah! The body of Christ is not an organization. It is not just simply a group of people getting together in one place. The body of Christ, hallelujah, is the issue of the dispensing of the process Trinity. And also the transmitting of the transcending Christ. We can see the triune God in his work of his dispensing in these next 3 points. Number one, let's have the sisters read this point. Amen. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, verse 4, we see that the Father chose us to be holy. Hallelujah, we were chosen to be holy. This means that we have his divine nature. In verse 5, we see that the Father predestinated us unto sonship. This means that we have his divine life. Revelation 22, 14 says that we have washed our robes by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, saints, we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. And this affords us the right to the tree of life. Before the tree of life was closed, we could not enter into God. But hallelujah, by Christ's redemption, we have the way. We have the right to enter and to participate in the tree of life. And it is through the Father's dispensing in his choosing us to be holy and predestinating us unto sonship that we have the right to participate in his divine nature and his divine life. Let's have the brothers read verse number 2 together. So the Son's dispensing in his redeeming and saving issues in the believers as God's inheritance in his transformation. This indicates that the Son's work in his dispensing allows us to participate in the divine element of God. And point 3, let's have the sisters read that. Amen. So we see here the Spirit's dispensing, the third of the divine Trinity, the Spirit. His dispensing and his sealing and pledging issues in God as the believer's inheritance unto their perfection. And this indicates that we can participate in the divine essence of the Trinity. Hallelujah. Amen. So through the Father's dispensing, we gain the divine nature and the divine life. Hallelujah. Through the Son's dispensing, we gain the divine element of God. And through the Spirit's dispensing, we gain the divine essence of God. This makes us divine sons of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We were fallen. We were dead in our sins. Praise the Lord. The Lord came to us as a Spirit. He regenerated us, and he brought all his divine nature, his divine life, his divine element, and his divine essence into us. Amen. And point 4 says, the transcending, Christ transmitting, in his rising and ascending, issues in his body as his expression unto the believer's consummation. Back to the point of concerning the Spirit's dispensing. There's the verse of Ephesians 1:13. It says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. Now, a seal is something that puts the essence of ink on the paper. And when this happens, the ink and the paper are mingled together. When the Lord regenerated us, on the day we were regenerated, something marvelous happened. Before, we were lost in the world, without hope, without God. But when the Spirit came to regenerate us, he came as a sealing spirit. And as a sealing spirit, he came and put a stamp on us. He said, Tim, you belong to me. Amen. Hallelujah! No longer am I lost, wandering in the world, but hallelujah, I belong to God today. So all of us believers, we've been sealed with this Holy Spirit. Not only have we been sealed with a mark, but his essence, his divine essence as a spirit, has mingled himself into our spirit. Hallelujah, and today he's continuing to seal himself in us. Eventually we become his full inheritance. Hallelujah. The transcending Christ, also in his transmitting, is something related to Christ rising from the dead, Christ ascending to the right hand of God, and God subjecting all things under his feet. God gave him to be head over all things to the church. And now, when we open our being to him, we can enjoy this divine transmission. Praise the Lord. One of the Lord's accomplishments was that he, hallelujah, subjected all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Hallelujah. So it's all things to the church. So we can today receive this divine transmission simply by opening up to the Lord, turning our heart to him, and exercising our spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Ephesians 1 concerning the triune God for the producing and building up of the body of Christ. Now let's turn to point B. Let's all read this together. Amen. So the key point here is that, number one, we, as the body of Christ, are the masterpiece of God. And two, we are the one new man. Actually, on the cross, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord died on the cross, not only to terminate sin, not only to forgive us of our sins, but much more. Something very unique happened when he was on the cross. And I didn't really see this before. But praise the Lord, when he was on the cross, even during his darkest hour, as he was nailed, hanging there, something marvelous happened within his being. Hallelujah! He created him in himself. What did he create? One new man! Oh, the one new man was created. Before there was no one new man. What was there? There was a corporate man, corrupted, fallen, rebellious, fallen away from God. But hallelujah, on the cross, not only did he abolish in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, but he created in himself a one new man. And this one new man is composed of all the believers in Christ. Amen. Now, in point one, if we can all read that together. Amen. Now, let me go back to the point concerning the masterpiece of the triune God. Saints, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the masterpiece of Christ. What does this mean? Well, the masterpiece is something of a work of art that takes a lot of effort, a lot of thinking, a lot of planning. Eventually, this work of art becomes something marvelous, something grandiose. And this masterpiece of Christ, praise the Lord, came about, hallelujah, when the Lord was crucified on the cross, he abolished everything negative in the universe. And in doing so, he brought a group of people, hallelujah, a group of people that just matches him in life and in nature. And so this masterpiece shows the infinite wisdom of God, how he brought each and every one of us out of our miserable, hopeless situation. And just check with yourself, where have you been these last several years? How the Lord has brought you to this place today. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. What trouble he went through to arrange in his sovereignty to bring us to where we are today. I just thank and praise the Lord. We can only thank and praise the Lord for what he's done. And just declare to the universe that we are God's masterpiece. And in the... Hallelujah. We are God's masterpiece. Amen. Now back to point one. At the end of that phrase, at the end of that point, it says, all the forms and ways of living and worship that divide mankind. Now in the one new man... Or I should say, in the world today, there are all kinds of things or ways of living that divide us. If you consider even the people in the United States, the northern states and the southern states, if you compare how they live, their way of life, these things can simply divide us. But praise the Lord, in the one new man, there is no such thing. All of this has been abolished. Hallelujah, on the cross. So anything that comes in our way in our church life, anything that divides us, even the way we live, the way we eat, the way we dress ourselves, that should not become a problem. If this is a problem, then we are not experiencing the one new man. Because in the one new man, there's only one person. Amen. This person is Christ. Amen. The all-inclusive Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's read, our brothers, read verse point two together. Amen. So this goes along the same line that in the world today, people have cultural differences, and many times, even in the church life, this may become a problem to us. So we need to realize that in the body of Christ, in the one new man, there is no room for cultural differences. Praise the Lord. Let's read three together. In the one new man, there is only one person, the all-inclusive Christ. This one new man has one mouth to speak the same thing, one accord. Amen. So in the one new man, there's only one mouth to speak the same thing in one accord. And what are we speaking? We're speaking the economy of God. Amen. Let's have the sisters read C together. Amen. Brothers, one.
God has an economy to distribute the unsearchable riches of Christ into our being, so that we find his fullness, his expression.
And all together on two.
We need to pray daily to be strengthened into our inner man, so that our triune God can carry out his unique work to build himself in Christ.
Amen. So here we see in Ephesians 3 that the body of Christ is the fullness of the triune God. So how do we become the fullness of the triune God? Well, we see here in chapter 3 that Paul says he has the unsearchable riches of Christ. What are the unsearchable riches of Christ? The unsearchable riches of Christ are all that Christ is, all that he has, all that he has accomplished, attained, and obtained. The fullness of Christ is the result and issue of our enjoyment of these riches. When the riches of Christ are assimilated into our being metabolically, what happens? We are constituted to be the fullness of Christ, the body of Christ, the church as his expression. Hallelujah. Now let's read point D together. Ephesians 4, the body of Christ. Sisters, one. Point two, brothers. Built up by the one ministry. So we see here that the body of Christ is the mingling of the process triune God with the regenerated believers, and that this one body is built up by the one ministry. So we see here the four and one, right? The three of the divine Trinity organically mingled, united, incorporated with us, the believers, Amen. And being built up today as the body of Christ. And this is done by the one ministry. Hallelujah for the one ministry. Amen. Let's all read together point E. Amen. Point one says, we were once not only dark, but darkness itself, because we were one with Satan. Now we are not only the children of light, but light itself, because we are one with God in the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all read point two together. Amen. So here in chapter 5 of Ephesians, we see that the body of Christ is composed of the children of light, to be the bride of Christ for the satisfaction of Christ. Now let's consider point two, the lampstand. The lampstand is full of almond, calyxes, and blossoms. It is an almond tree, a living golden tree. Now, I'd never considered a lamp to be full of such calyxes and almonds and blossoms, but it's actually an almond tree that is living, that is golden, a golden tree. That's a very unique tree. And this almond signifies Christ's resurrection. Amen. Ephesians 5:9 tells us that the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now we know that the lampstand signifies the triune God also. We see that the gold element signifies God the Father, the image signifies God the Son, and the seven lamps as the appearance, the expression, signifies God the Spirit. Now, this point about the lampstand, we need to see that there's the fruit of the light. This fruit of the light is the fruit of the Spirit. And this light coming out of the lampstand is also the triune God. So in this point, we see that there is a blossoming, there is a fruit, which is the shining out of the lampstand. This is also the triune God, blossoming with resurrection life as the shining light. So today, the church is also the shining out of Christ. But this shining out is actually just the triune God himself shining through the believers. Hallelujah. Amen. And let's read the three together. In Ephesians 5:25 through 27, we see that there is an unveiling of God's purpose here. We see, number one, that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This is Christ as our Redeemer. That he might sanctify her, cleansing her by the washing of the water in the Word. This is Christ as the life-giving Spirit. That he might present her to himself glorious. This is Christ as the Bridegroom in verse 27. So we see the Redeemer, Christ the Redeemer, we see Christ the life-giving Spirit, and we see the Bridegroom. And also, if you look at verse 25, you see judicial redemption, Christ redeeming us judicially. Verse 26, you see Christ's organic salvation, working out the salvation within us to change us intrinsically to be like him. And in 27, this brings us to be able to present the bride to himself. So we have judicial redemption and organic salvation, and we have the bride presentation. Amen. And lastly, let's read point F together. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Not only is the body of Christ the fullness, the mingling of the triune God with his tripartite people, not only the issue of the dispensing, but also the corporate warrior. Amen. Saints, there's a warfare going on. Amen. The Lord needs the body to fight for him. Amen. But this does not happen individually. Let's all read one together. Spiritual warfare is not an individual matter, matter of the body. Church as the body is a corporate warrior. Corporate warrior can wear the whole armor of God. Saints, we need to fight the good fight together. Hallelujah. This is a matter of the body. Hallelujah. Let's read two together. Amen. Romans 16:20 says that Satan has been crushed under our feet. So when we are together fighting this spiritual warfare as one body, Satan will be crushed under our feet. Amen. Hallelujah. Now there are verses here in point two related to Isaiah 14. And these verses refer to Lucifer, how he said five times, I will. In his rebellion against God, he said that I will ascend to the throne, that I will be like the Most High. Basically, essentially, he's trying to dethrone God. Okay, but the Lord, in Matthew 16:18, says, I will build my church. Amen. I will build my church. Amen. This I will negates the five I wills in Isaiah. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah. And in the Song of Songs, we see in chapter 4, 1 and 4, that it talks about our neck, which is a type of our will. And our neck should be like the Tower of David, built for an armory with shields all over our will. What does this mean? This means that our will should be rich, rich in the defending power of Christ in resurrection. And like a tower of ivory, which signifies resurrection, our will should be subdued, transformed by Christ through sufferings, so that it is submitted to the headship of Christ, to choose God's will, and to be rich in the defending power of Christ in resurrection. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord, for all these points. May the Lord bring us one by one into each matter in the book of Ephesians concerning his economy and the building up of the body of Christ.